భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. Are changing the timings because there was one which many devotees were going to attend, so many devotees requested for a change of things, and also today being 26th January, Republic Day and a national holiday here in India, therefore many devotees requested. So I know it would be an inconvenience for those who are attending from outside India, so we really apologize for the change of timings. So it's just going to be for today, and from next week onwards we'll revert back to our regular timings. So we have been discussing from this book Bhakti Aloka. Of course, we have not yet started discussing from the book Bhakti Aloka. Still, we are just laying the platform for this Bhakti Aloka. Is Radha Pramod Prabhu there? He has probably not joined, or has he joined? Yeah, Radha Pramod Prabhu has joined actually. So generally, for those of you who have been attending the previous sessions, you know, generally Radha Pramod Prabhu starts with a recap of what we have done in a very nice mind, you know, using mind maps, which may be easy for you to recollect. But yeah, so I'll go ahead and Radha Pramod Prabhu, can you make Radha Pramod Prabhu also as the co-host, so that, yeah, he has been made the co-host. Yes, Prabhu, go ahead and you can start the recap, and then we will start with today's discussion.
You are able to see my screen, bro?
Yes, bro, we are able to see.
Hare Krishna. So, we started our new book, Bhakti Aloka, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, this book, it is comprising of nectar of instructions, which are written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, in this, two shlokas I'll discuss. Now, we had a little discussion on what is this nectar of instructions. So there is a summary recap of this book. So this is not written in a form of book. This is actually of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They are the series of essays which he has written in Sajjan Toshani and later compiled by Gaudiya Math in the form of this book, Bhakti Aloka. So they are a set of 12 essays based on nectar of instruction, second and third shlokas, 6 favorable things and 6 unfavorable things of Upadeshamrita. We'll just see the history of Upadeshamrita. So this is the instructions which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. One time he was sitting on the shore of Jagannath Puri ocean and he was engaged in Krishna Katha. And that time, Lord Chaitanya, he was reminded of Yamuna and Govardhan Hill. In that situation, he was in great separation. Then he became very peaceful. And he gave these instructions, and which were noted by Govinda. So later on, Rupa Goswami, he churned the ocean of Mahaprabhu's instruction and extracted the essence. And he compiled this book of Upadeshamrita. These 11 verses of this book give the complete understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta and Rasa. And this book gives us the root for Shraddha to Pema in 11 verses. And every verse of this book is non-negotiable. So this book is an absolutely non-negotiable book in our Sampradaya. And if one can understand just this one book, the depth of these 11 verses, then we don't need anything else to move forward in our spiritual life, and we can very powerfully move forward in our Krishna consciousness. Now we'll just see just a overview of all these 11 verses. So how this flow of Upadeshamrita is, once we get the overview, then we'll understand the importance of these two shlokas which we are discussing. So first one, Nectar of Instruction, verse number 1, Vacho Vegam Manasak Krodha Vegam Jishpa Vegam Udara Upastha Vegam Etan Vegan Yo Vishaheta Dheera Sarvam Akmyam Prithivim Sashishya. So this shloka, it gives the qualification of being a Jagat Guru. So the person who can tolerate these six urges, he can make disciples all over the world. So this is the first thing. One has to tolerate this vacha, manasa, krodha, jiva, all these urges. Now, then one may say, oh, this is very good, but how can I do it? So these urges we can control for some time, but for a long run to control it, it is not possible. I can control for maybe 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, but how can I control these urges for a long run? So for that, you need to have a very favorable lifestyle, and one need to gradually learn how to tolerate it. So then what is that favorable lifestyle? The six urges are conditional urges, and these urges are like battle. But if one is properly trained, then one is ready to face the battle. So how to do it? Then the training means developing the internal writing. So how to change is, first is conscious choice of lifestyle. So we have to make a change in our lifestyle. And this lifestyle are discussed in the second and third verses, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to discuss for us in the 12 essays. So in the second verse, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Janasangasya Lolamcha Shadbhir Bhakti Vinashyati. Here, the do's are, don'ts are given, which are not favorable for the practice of Krishna consciousness, and do's are given in NY3, Utsaha Nishya Dhairya Tattat Karma Pravatna Sangatyaga Satavati Shadbhir Bhakti Prasiddhati. So what should be done? What should not? Of course, both are there in this. So once you get a favorable lifestyle, and now alone you cannot practice. Raji was telling the example of a boy who is trained in a military setup. If alone he is trained, he cannot practice it. So even though it is the best to practice, but alone if somebody is doing, he will feel it's a torturous. And we see around, it is nobody is following all these standards. Atyahara, prayasa. Now further, the key is association. So this association is explained in NY 4, 5 and 6 verses. So this lifestyle cannot be followed alone. So now, how do we connect to those like-minded people? So we need like-minded people for this. And how to get their association? For this, there is a verse number 4 by 6 exchanges. So you want to develop a relation with somebody who is also interested in this, then you have to have this Nectar of Instruction 4. Dadati pratigrihnati guhyam apkyati pruchati bhumte bhojayate chaiva shadvidam priti lakshanam. So the 6 loving exchanges, we can develop relationship with them. Now, okay, the 6 exchanges I will do. But whom should I do the 6 loving exchanges? How will I know them? So further, there is Nectar of Instruction 5, which says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasandriyata dikshati chet pranatabhischa bhajanyam isham shushushaya bhajan vignam ananyavanya nindadi sunyam hidimipsita sangalabdhya. So we have to mentally honor a Kanishta Adhikari. So with him, what type of exchanges we should do? And with Madhyam Adhikari, what exchanges? And with Uttam Adhikari. So all these things are given. So whom should we associate in which manner? So all are devotees, but with whom I should have which type of exchange? That is given in 5th. Then, okay, once we come to the devotees, we have to retain that association. We should not go away from them. So because we have the tendency to see externals, we may commit offenses and then we may not be able to stay with them. So, but to avoid offenses and to continue staying with them, so how to retain that association? In the association with my Srimas, the main problem is we face their conditioning. So why we commit offenses? Because we see their imperfections, we see their conditionings. So how to deal with them? Then there is Nectar of Instruction 6, which says that drishte swabhava janater vapusascha doshe na prakritim iha bhakta janasya pashet gangam vasam nakhal bodhbuddha fena panke brahmat damatna gachatta nira dharme. So we have to don't see externals. We should not see by their color, their birth, their place and other external conditionings, their imperfections. We should see beyond that. And like the example is given, the Ganges water, even whatever impurities are coming, we should push aside and take bath because Ganges is always pure. So similarly, we should not see the externals of Vaishnava. We should see the internal core, primary qualities of Vaishnava, not the secondary qualities. In that way, we'll retain that association and we'll be able to have that exchanges. And in that way, we'll be able to follow that lifestyle. Now, we already practice bhakti and follow the favorable lifestyle in the association of devotees. Then what will be the stumbling block? The stumbling block will be our own conditioning. What is that? We don't have any taste only. So, because of this conditioning does not allow us to experience the taste of Krishna consciousness. We don't have any, because it is not so tasty to follow all these standards and all. So we expect ruchi before nishta. That is the problem. We want taste. But to get taste, we should have nishta. That means we should nicely practice for getting the taste. So that's why the verse number 7 says, Shyat Krishna Nama Charitad Sutapta Vidde Pittopatapta Rasanasya Narochikano Kintu Adarat Anudinam Kalusaiva Jishta Swadhi Pramadi Bhavati Tadgata Moolahantri. So we need to practice with regularity, regulation and respect. Then ruchi is awarded. This study practice will bring us to the platform of taste. So to get taste, we need steadiness. And then after doing, so by doing the taste, then what will happen? What should one do after one gets taste? Then Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smritro Kamena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tishtan Rajetadanuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akilam Iti Upadesha Saram. So reside in Braja and utilize all one's time in chanting, hearing, remembering Lord's name, Rupa, Guna, Leela, everything. So by once a person gets to the standard of this, then he will get absorbed in following the footsteps of Rajavasis. Now at this stage, one is so much absorbed, so he will get attraction to Vrindavan and absorbed in Lord's devotional service with we are better ready and can easily tolerate all the urges. Now when he is ready to tolerate all the urges, then according to the verse number 1, we'll see that of course here we saw that after 4th, 5th, 6th, so we should know what is expected of that. So 7th and 8th, 7th is we should be study and 8th is we get taste. So once you get taste, then we are not interested in verse number 1. What is that? To make disciples all around the world, because he is more attached, more interested in following him. He is not interested in making followers. He is interested in becoming a follower of Brajavasis. So, and because we always are busy following in the footsteps of Brajavasis. So this is the summary of the shlokas. Of course, 9, 10, 11, again, it is further telling about staying at Radha Kund and all. So, but that is at the stage after Ruchi and Nishta. So first is conscious lifestyle, which is given in 2nd and 3rd. And the key is 4th, 5th, and 6th, and that is association with devotees. And then what is expected? Then we'll get Nishta and Ruchi. So first is we have to tolerate the urges to get out of these conditionings. So we are actually, when Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami, no, what is, how these people can be saved from the hellish condition? They say, the sinful mentality that should be removed from the heart. And that is possible when we follow the standards what are given in NOI. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Babu. Thank you. Thank you very much for your recap. So now what I'll do is, let's chant the Mangalacharan. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminathina Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So I will just, wow, most of it very beautifully Radha Pramod Prabhu has recapped. I'm sure you know, after, for those of you who have joined for Bhakti Aloka, I'm just giving you that after every session, we share the notes and the summary sheet also. So this is just an inspiration for you to join early, because the summary of the previous class happens early in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So if you join early, you get to hear summary, and then at the end of the next day, you receive the summary sheet and the notes also. Okay. Is my voice breaking? Someone is telling that my voice is breaking. Can others just type and let me know, is my voice breaking? Okay. No, it's not breaking for others. Okay. So the point is that, if you, at next day you receive the summary sheet also, you can go over the summary and it will give a fairly good recap of the whole session that we did. So now what I'll do is, before opening up the group for some questions based on what we discussed last time, I will just add a few more points and complete this overview that we had started, overview of Nectar of Instruction, just to understand what is the position of Bhakti Aloka, why is Bhakti Aloka as a book, why these 12 essays are relevant for us. In order to understand that, we are understanding what is the relevance of Nectar of Instruction in a sadhaka's life, especially a Gaudiya Vaishnava's life. Right. So we saw the history of Upadeshamrita, which, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri on one fine night, after coming out of his ecstasy, he shares these instructions, which was written down by Govinda and eventually presented by Srila Rupa Goswami. Right. And this Nectar of Instruction, traditionally the original commentary of Nectar of Instruction was written by one of the followers of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Actually, his name was Srila Radharaman Goswami. He was very, very, very great devotee, very powerful scholar. So just like Sridhar Swami wrote the original comment of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nectar of Instruction original commentary was written by, I will just write it down so that let me see if there is a I will write it down here. So the first commentary, the first commentary was by Srila Radha Ramana Goswami, and the commentary's name is Sri Upadesha Prakashika. Okay, Sri Upadesha Prakashika commentary. This was the original commentary, very short commentary, just basically elaborating on the essential words of that particular verse. Very brief illumination, that's all. Upadesha Prakashika. Okay. When was the commentary written? It was, I'm not very sure, but it was not very long after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I guess. Maybe within 100-150 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was definitely before Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Much before Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then subsequently, the second commentary that we know, right, in our line, there must have been other commentaries written, but as far as we know, the prominent commentary, the next commentary in our line was written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. Okay, and he titled the commentary as Piyusha Varshini Vritti. Piyusha Varshini Vritti. So Piyusha means nectar, Varshini means shower, Vritti means commentary. A commentary that showers nectar. Piyusha Varshini Vritti. So this is the next commentary, which was basically Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Radharaman Goswami's Sri Upadesha Prakashika and just illuminated, little bit more elaborated. Just like the other acharyas, they take Sridhar Swami's commentary of Bhagavatam and then just elaborate on it. Then the next commentary in our line was by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. He wrote a commentary called as Anuvritti. Okay. Anuvritti means, he wrote Piyusha Varshini Vritti. Anuvritti means following that which follows after Piyusha Varshini Vritti. So he took Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary and elaborated on it. That is Anuvritti. And if you see, then subsequently, amongst Srila Prabhupada's God brothers, many, many of them wrote a commentary to Nectar of Instruction or Upadeshamrita. And Srila Prabhupada wrote, right? And Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami Maharaj wrote. This is a very popular commentary. You know, like that, there are many commentaries, right? So, but this is one of the book which has been very widely commented upon in our sampradaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta. Practically, there has been a commentary almost at least as far as we know from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, you know, in every generation. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and amongst the disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, many have commented on this book. So very, very important book. And we will be taking, while we are discussing Bhakti Aloka, we will be taking some of these commentaries, some important points from some of these commentaries also. So last time we thought that we will try to understand the relevance of Bhakti Aloka. But to understand the relevance of Bhakti Aloka, we have to understand the relevance of Nectar of Instruction. So, of course, Radha Pramod Prabhu recap, but I will still add some additional points. Because last time, by the time we started this overview, it became quite late. So, I could not do a proper justice. So, naturally, everyone wants to control, especially controlling people, controlling resources. It's always very attractive, you know, controlling wealth, controlling resources, controlling people, especially controlling people is very, very intoxicating, right? So who does not want to become a guru? You know, one may not use that word guru to address oneself, But naturally, one wants to control people. You know, we want people under your thumb. You know, so someone may say, do you want to become a Jagadguru? Who does not want to become a Jagadguru? Everyone wants to become a Jagadguru. So what is the symptom of a Jagadguru? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. Etan veganyo vishaheta dhira sarvanapimam prativimsta sishyat. So if he can control these six urges, you know, it is possible for one to become a guru, right? So this is exactly Bhagavatam also says, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreyam uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashama ashrayam. He says, therefore, one who is inquisitive about understanding what is the uttama shreya, what is the greatest benefit, should surrender unto a guru. And who is that guru? Shabde parecha nishnatam. Shabde nishnatam. He must be an expert in the bhakti shastra. He must be an expert in understanding the conclusions of the bhakti shastras. Okay. Then, parebrahmani nishnatam. Parebrahmani nishnatam means he must be an expert in realizing Krishna also. So that expertise in understanding the essence of the bhakti shastras should also mature into realization of Krishna. But understanding the essence of bhakti shastras and realization of Krishna, both are not external symptoms. Both are internal symptoms. You know, unless you yourself have perfectly understood the conclusions of bhakti shastras, we will not be able to assess whether that other person has internalized and understood the bhakti shastras. And how are we going to know, you know, how much he has realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That is also an internal thing. So how do we know, is there an external symptom of understanding who is a bona fide guru? So the last symptom that is written in that Bhagavatam verse is upashama ashrayam. Ashrayam means he has taken shelter of upashama. Upashama means vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. A completely controlled mind and senses. So his, as we read, right? Bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trikayeka kala prapadyamanasya yatashnatasya tushti pushti shudapayo anughasam. Bhagavatam says that as and when one progresses on the path of devotional service, bhakti, his devotional progress, para isha anubhava, his realization of Krishna, and virakti means detachment. And detachment is seen through one's ability to control these six urges, right? So this ability to control these six urges is a visible parameter. So one can see how much a devotee is able to, of course, there could be some non-devotees also who may be able to control the six urges. So this is not an independent criteria in itself. But certainly, you know, when he is practicing the limbs of pure devotional service, then apart from, you know, his practicing the limbs of pure devotional service, if he is additionally showing these perfect mind and sense control, then one can understand that he is fit to be a guru. So But we all know that it is not very easy to control these urges when they come, day in and day out, right? Sometimes you may say no, but to do it every time is not easy. Nah. When the urge of anger comes, you know, to resist it is not easy. And the urge of speech, you really want to speak harshly at someone, you are, you know, it's not very easy to stop it. Always. Sometimes you may be able to do, but not always, right? Similarly, mind. Who can control the chariot of the mind? It's not easy. You know, we keep imagining too many things and, you know, we see someone, we think 100 things about them. Can we stop the chariot of the mind? It's not easy. Similarly, you see a palatable dish. The urge to eat it is there. How many times we are able to resist, right? Similarly, the urges of the tongue, of the belly and genitals, it's not very easy to do that. So actually, sense control and mind control is very difficult. As Arjuna himself, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavadranam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. I can control the raging wind, but I cannot control my mind. Because it is pramati balavadranam. It is very, my mind is mad. And it is so powerful and obstinate. Hut, you know, that is very, very obstinate, unwilling to change. I can probably, you know, stop a raging wind, but I cannot stop my mind. So like that, he says. So these urges to control them is very, very difficult. It's not very easy at all. So this is a very, very tall order. If this is what it takes to become a guru, first, if you want to become Swami of others, you become Swami of your own senses. So you have to become Goswami. If you, before becoming Jagat Swami, you have to become Goswami. You have to become master of your own senses and mind. But this is very difficult. So one may say that, wow, this is a very, very difficult thing. Difficult proposal that you have put. So how do I become sense controlled? So we saw that these six urges, any urge is a conditional urge. Urges are conditional, which means they come under some circumstances, and when that circumstance is gone, the urge is gone, right? So these six urges are conditional, right? You don't always feel hungry, right? You feel hungry, and as soon as you eat some food, then the hunger is pacified, right? Then similarly, you become angry on someone. When that person apologizes, or sometimes after you blast that person, and then your anger goes down. So no one is perpetually angry, right? You may look at some person and they may look like they are always angry, but that is probably just their way they are. You know, they look like that, but they are angry, right? All the time. So similarly, the urges of the genitals, the urge to speak. No one is perpetually having an urge to speak. Like, for example, you know, almost like 6-7 days, I have been quarantined because of COVID. So I get this urge to speak. You know, I feel so bored sitting alone in the room because I don't want to infect others in the house. So the urge to speak is there. But once you speak, then the urge is gone. So we saw last time that these urges are like the battlefield. You know, a soldier is not perpetually on a battlefield. Like I gave the example, you know, I went to a military school and many of my classmates from school, they are in the armed forces now. In fact, 90% of those who are recruited in the armed forces never get to see the battlefield. Most of them retire never seeing the battlefield, right? Even though right from school time, you know, in a military school, right from school days, everyone is trained physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically to face the battlefield. That is the training all the time, right? For years and decades and day in and day out, that is the training. Even though most of them may never get to see the battlefield. Because the understanding is, the more you sit in peace, the less you will bleed in war. So our war is our, when the six urges come, how are we going to resist those temptations? That is the war. Okay, that is the war. But for, and we have to sweat in peace. So sweating in peace, how do we sweat in peace? That's exactly what the rest of Nectar of Instruction talks about. Okay, how do you sweat in peace? How do you develop an inner wiring? How do you develop an inner wiring which is conducive for resisting these urges? So what is that inner wiring? How do you develop it? The first important aspect of that inner wiring is actually a conscious choice of lifestyle, which is very conducive for developing mind and sense control, right? So the second verse of Nectar of Instruction talks about, and any lifestyle constitutes two things, two aspects, do's and don'ts, right? Yama, niyama. In the Ashtanga Yoga parlance, it is called as yama, niyama. The do's and don'ts. And in this thing, it is called as anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is anukul for bhakti, you accept. Whatever is pratikul, you reject. Okay. So now, here, in the second verse of Nectar of Instruction, it talks about the don'ts. Six don'ts which should be avoided because they are not very favorable for progressing on the path of bhakti. So what are they? Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha. Janasangascha laulyam cha shaddir bhaktir vinashyati. So we were discussing that atyahara, in the first verse only jihva vegam it's mentioned, you know, the urge for eating, but here atyahara is mentioned. Is it a repetition? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, no, this is not repetition. Jikva vegam refers to an urge. Okay. Oh, the urge to eat a particular item, you know, a craving to eat sweet. Okay. But atyahara refers to when the opportunity to eat is there, we may end up overeating. Or when the opportunity to accumulate is there, we may end up over accumulating. Right? So the point is, if the opportunity to eat is there, and when if you end up overeating, then the person's ability to control the urge of the tongue, urge of eating palatable foodstuffs, will be very compromised. Or his ability to resist the urge of hunger will be very compromised. So eating we do every day. Okay. Eating we do every day. But whenever we get, whenever we eat, if we eat only, as Prabhupada said, half a stomach, food, quarter stomach, water, and 1/4 quarter stomach, leave it for air so that it can do the digestion process. If this way we eat, as Prabhupada said, then this is not a tyaha. But if we keep on overeating, then our ability to resist the urge of the tongue to eat palatable foodstuffs and the stomach to, of hunger, that ability to resist that will be very compromised. So the items mentioned in second verse, even though might seem to be a repetition of what is mentioned in the first verse, but the difference is that the first verse talks about the conditional urges and which may come and go at time, but the second verse talks about more constitutional things that we need to do, that every time you eat, learn to eat moderately. Every time you collect, learn to collect whatever is needed to keep your body and soul together. Prayas means endeavor. Endeavor we have to do every day. For every single thing we endeavor, right? And especially when working, we endeavor. But the point is that whatever we put lot of endeavor to achieve, we want to enjoy it for ourselves. The tendency is there. So therefore, if we are talking about, urge is an urge to enjoy only. All the six urges are urges to enjoy. So if you have over endeavored to acquire any object, then the ability to control the urge to enjoy that object is very compromised. Right? So, for example, if you have endeavored for 20 years of your life to earn money to purchase a house, okay, you don't want to give up that house in charity just like that, because 20 years, you have spent your sweat and blood to earn that money so that you could purchase that house. So because there is 22 decades of endeavor that has gone in this whole thing, therefore you really want to enjoy it. You don't want to just like that give it up, right? So therefore, prayasa means over endeavoring to attain things, material things. So therefore, this over endeavor also compromises the ability to control the urges. So the ability to control the urges. So similarly, if you see prajalpa, prajalpa means whenever there is an opportunity to speak, if we keep on speaking non-Krishna conscious things, loose talks, just like that, then when a situation comes when we are not supposed to talk, the ability to resist that urge to talk will be very severely compromised, because we have been used to loose talking always, right? So therefore, so prajalpa is something we need to, avoiding prajalpa is something which we need to practice day in and day out. So basically, if you see, the second verse talks about unfavorable things as a part of a lifestyle which we need to incorporate in our lifestyle, so that we develop the ability to resist the urges long run, right? I am not going through each one of the six items, because that is what the rest of the book is all about, right? So this is avoiding the unfavorable aspects of a Krishna conscious lifestyle is described in the second verse. Then the third verse talks about the cultivating the favorable aspects of a Krishna conscious lifestyle, right? उत्साहान् निश्चयात् धैर्यात् तत्तत् कर्म प्रवर्तनात् संगत्यागात् सतो वृत्ते षड्भिर् भक्तिर् प्रसिद्ध्यति. यू नो सिक्स थिंग्स विच आर वेरी विच एनहैंस अवर भक्ति आर उत्साह आर यू नो enthusiasm. You know, Prabhupada says that if you are not feeling enthusiastic, then you act enthusiastically, because that is very favorable for one's progress on the path of devotional service. And nishchaya means to having firm faith or progressing with determination. Okay, that is possible when one consciously tries to remove the doubts which one may have about the path of bhakti, about devotees, and all these things, you know. So this is actually nischaya. So how you do it, that is what the whole essay is about. How do you develop this firm determination by removing the doubts? What kind of doubts come? How do you resolve the doubts? So this is a very important thing that we will be discussing, right? Then dhairya. Dhairya, why? Because many times, if you have seen people, especially in Kali Yuga, right? Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadruta. So people have very little patience. So you see people jumping from one doctor to another doctor to another doctor, from allopathy to homeopathy to Ayurveda to all these things people keep doing, because they don't have patience to patiently try out a process. Similarly, bhakti, in bhakti also, krameneiva praliyeta, only gradually does one start getting the results. Especially the path of Mithravritti is a very gradual stage. So unless one has that kind of patience, one develops that kind of patience as a very integral component of his lifestyle, then practicing bhakti becomes very difficult. Then we start getting doubts. Is the process working? Does the process work? Does chanting work? All these kinds of doubts we will start getting. So therefore, cultivating this patience is very important, as a very important aspect of our lifestyle, right? And so on, you know, the other three, I won't just, because anyway, we are going to discuss this in detail. Okay. So these six favorable and six unfavorable things must be cultivated as a lifestyle, which is significantly different from a materialistic lifestyle. Okay. Maybe some components of these lifestyles are useful for materialistic lifestyle also, for a materialist also. But then there are many aspects which are significantly different. So if you have to make such a wholesale change of lifestyle, and not just change, but sustainably follow it over long periods of time, years and decades, then it needs support, right? It needs support of like-minded practitioners, right? So it needs support of like-minded practitioners. So how do you develop a relationship with like-minded practitioners? That's what the fourth verse of Nectar of Nectar says. Guyamakyati prachati bhungte bojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. So these six exchanges, they are not just for creating devotees association. To create any association, any loving association needs these six exchanges, right? So here Srila Rupa Goswami says, if you have these six exchanges, priti lakshanam, if it creates priti, then you feel very happy, right? you know any difficult path, if you have the right kind of association, if you have loving association, then even the difficult path becomes manageable, actually. But if there is no loving association, then even a a slightly difficult path becomes unbearable. It becomes very difficult, right? Therefore, when we have these six exchanges with devotees, then we can create favorable association to traverse this path. So these six exchanges should be with whom? So therefore, in Bhagavatam also there is this verse. Sadri chino hyayam loke pantaha kshemo akuto bayah. Shushila sadavo yatra narayana parayana. The path of bhakti is such a wonderful path, because the path of jnana and yoga, the practitioner is expected to be on his own, be alone, be on his own. So what is going to sustain his enthusiasm? But bhakti is not like that. In bhakti, a person is not expected to be alone. So therefore, this is Shukadeva Goswami telling Parikshit Maharaj, Sadri chino hyayam loke, ayam loke pantaha. The path followed by the by persons, shushila sadhava. In this path of bhakti, you have the advantage of the association of people who are very friendly and virtuous. Shushila sadhavo. Yatra Narayana Parayana. And they are also surrendered to Narayana, just like you are. And they are very friendly. They are very virtuous. And because of the presence of such kind of association, such kind of friends, Sadrichina, therefore this path is certain. Because when you are slipping away, they will catch hold of your hand and drag you. And when they are slipping away, you will catch hold of their hand and you will drag them. Right? So in this way, there is ample support. That is the nature of the people who are cultivating bhakti, is they will develop all these favorable qualities, and they will push you to progress very nicely. So therefore, there is always no fear of slagging down if you invest in these six exchanges, right? But these six exchanges should be with whom? Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajanavignyam ananyam anya nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. These six exchanges should be with these three categories of people. If you are very fortunate to have the association of an Uttamadhikari whose heart is completely free of the desire to criticize others, who is an expert in the path of bhakti, if you are fortunate enough to have such a, then you should have these six exchanges with such a devotee, serve that devotee, establish a wonderful relationship with that devotee, and dedicate your life to serving that devotee. Okay. But if you are not so fortunate, then you may get the association of a Madhyam Adhikari. Dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham. If he is qualified enough to receive diksha and worship the deity form of the Lord, then that is also good association. Then you have the six exchanges with such a person, and then establish a relationship and engage in Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, like that. Or sometimes you may not even be so fortunate. You may have just the association of a person who has basic faith in Krishna, who is willing to worship Krishna. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. Then you mentally offer your obeisances to such a person, have the six exchanges with that person. You give your association to that person and elevate him. And in that way, it can be a mutually very pleasant and enlivening association. So it should be with these three categories of people only, because any other people who do not fall within the category of devotees of either Kanishta, Madhyama or Uttamadhikari, they are not fit to be associated with, and they, you should not have these six exchanges with those kinds of people. Okay. So then the problem is, but the problem with associating with either the Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari or Uttamadhikari is that we may be very superficial to relate only with their external conditioning. Drishtair swabhava janitair vapushascha doshair na prakritattvam iha bhakta dhanasya pashyet gangambaso na kalubudbuda fena pankair brahmadravattvam apagacchati niradharmai. He says, when we come in touch with devotees, we may see two kinds of faults which may repel us. Swabhava janitair dosha or vapushascha dosha. Swabhava janitair dosha means there are certain conditionings that they may have which may be born out of their certain habits which may be formed out of their conditioning, you know. Like, you know, they may sometimes tell lies, or they may sometimes, you know, they may have some bad habits and things like that. And we may get really irritated seeing that. Or vapushascha dosha. Or they may have some, you know, they may have some bodily deformities. Or they may have, prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, maybe they were chewing tobacco or something, and because of which they have a stained teeth. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, they have given up tobacco, but the teeth stain is there. So whenever we see them, we think, oh, you know, such a useless person, like that. So when we don't learn this art of seeing beyond the conditioning, when we fail to learn this art of seeing that pure devotional faith which is hiding behind the conditioning, then we are rejecting a very valuable object because of its packaging. Okay, the packaging is bad, but the object inside is pure gold, but we are throwing it away because the packaging is not to our liking. So something that we have to learn, that's what Srila Rupa Goswami is telling. See, all your efforts for the six exchanges and all that, it will not be so fruitful if you don't learn this art of seeing beyond the conditioning. If you don't learn to see the pure devotional faith, which is beyond all this conditioning, right? Because Krishna says, Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Right? Krishna says that very quickly I take responsibility for that person. Very quickly he will become a dharmatma. All his conditionings will go away just by the practice of bhakti. We should have this faith. And the example that he gives is gangambasam nakalubud buddha fena pankair brahma dravatvam apagat niradharmi. Right? During the winter season, especially if you have seen in Mayapur, not winter, rainy season, the water of Ganga is very muddy. So therefore, even though the water may be muddy, but the purifying potency of Ganga is not compromised. It's a very appropriate example. So similarly, when people have conditionings, devotees may have conditionings, but still their association is fruitful. So now, but we are so, our conditioning of seeing only the conditioning of others is so deep rooted. We are conditioned to see other people's conditioning only. That is so deep rooted. I'll give you an example. Once, Tulsi Priya Prabhu, who is a brahmachari at Chowpatty Temple, you know, he was taking care of, arranging for quality groceries for the whole ISKCON world. People were asking him, Prabhu, you are arranging for everything, milk and grains and everything organic and very nice, but you should also arrange for Gangajal. You know, Gangajal should be available because, you know, you never know what will happen. People should have Gangajal ready. He said, yeah, Gangajal is very easy, he told. So I will collect Gangajal, just bottle it and sell it. Is that okay? He said, no, Prabhu. No, that is not okay. Why? They said, you should get the Gangajal, then do proper distillation, remove all the dirt from it, and then get only the distilled Ganga water with no impurities, and you bottle that, and then you give it to us. I mean, it's not that every day you're going to drink like 2 or 3 liters of Gangajal. It is just for, you know, purifying. So still, even though they know that, whether it is muddy or non-muddy, Gangajal is purifying, but still, it is very, we tend to see the externals so strongly that it is very difficult to pull ourselves out of this tendency to see only the externals. Actually, so Rupa Goswami says this will be a very big stumbling block unless you learn to navigate through this, and unless you learn the art of seeing the real substance in that person, which is hiding beyond the conditioning, then you will never be able to make good relationships. And if you don't make good relationships, then it is not possible for you to get the proper assistance to follow a lifestyle which is favorable for progressing on the path of devotional service. Because alone it is not possible. Ekaki amar nahi paya bala harinama sankirtane. Not possible. Right. So then, now that I have association of devotees, and in that association I can follow this lifestyle very nicely. Okay. In that lifestyle I am practicing Krishna consciousness nicely. So now, Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Ata Bhajana Kriya. In Bhajana Kriya, what is the biggest obstacle? Right? That Srila Rupa Goswami is telling in the 7th verse. Right? Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya Pittopa Tapta Rasanasyana Rochikanu Kintu Adarad Anudinam Kalusaiva Jushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavati Tadgata Moolahantri. He said, Krishna Nama Rupa Charitadi. So Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, Sitasyat, they are definitely sweet. But Avidya Pittopatapta Rasanasyana Rochikanu. But because our tongue is laden with the layer of avidya, ignorance, that tongue, you know, a jaundiced tongue will taste any sweet object to be bitter only. So similarly, because our all the senses and mind are covered with material conditioning, when the absolutely sweet tasting name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord touch the jaundiced ears, jaundiced eyes, jaundiced tongue, and jaundiced mind of the living entity, it tastes bitter. That is where the problem comes. Bitter means what? No taste. So Rupa Goswami says, this is where the sadhaka should be very careful. He should not wait for taste. He should rather strive for steady practice of devotional service. Kintu ఆదరాద్ అనుదినం కలుసైవ జుష్ట స్వాద్వీ క్రమాద్ భవతి. వెన్ యూ ట్రై టు ప్రాక్టీస్ భక్తి, ద లిమ్స్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్, ఈవెన్ దో దే మే బి బిటర్, బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ స్ట్రైవ్ ఫర్ రెగ్యులర్ రెగ్యులేటెడ్ అండ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ డివోషనల్ లిమ్స్, స్వాద్వీ క్రమాద్ భవతి, గ్రాడ్యువలీ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ టేస్ట్ఫుల్. రెగ్యులర్ మీన్స్ ఎవ్రీ డే, డే ఇన్ అండ్ డే అవుట్, నాట్ వన్స్ అ వీక్, నాట్ వన్స్ అ మంత్, డే ఇన్ అండ్ డే అవుట్ రెగ్యులర్. రెగ్యులేటెడ్ మీన్స్ అట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ వన్ డే యూ కంప్లీట్ యువర్ రౌండ్స్ అట్ 7 o'clock ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ అండ్ అనదర్ డే యూ స్టార్ట్ యువర్ రౌండ్స్ అట్ 7 p.m. ఇన్ ది ఈవినింగ్. యూ నో ఇట్స్ నాట్ లైక్ దట్. The initial stages it is okay, but gradually one needs to work on regulating that. Regular, regulated and respectful. Respectful means consciously trying to avoid the 10 offenses. Okay. Kintu adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. When we try it this way, then gradually swadvi kramad bhavati, it gradually becomes more tasty. Okay, so then we reach the stage of ruchi. So basically the what Srila Rupa Goswami is telling is ruchi, nishta does not come after ruchi, but ruchi comes after nishta. Don't expect ruchi before nishta. That's what he is. You take responsibility for steady practice. Then Krishna says, I will take responsibility of giving taste. But if you keep on waiting for taste, ek din mujhe thoda isme thoda ruchi aane do, fir main ekdam regularly main japa karunga. Kabhi nahi aayega. We have to take responsibility for chanting regularly, respectfully and in a very regulated way, day in and day out. And Krishna being pleased by seeing that dedication will award us taste. Okay. So that's what Srila Rupa Goswami is telling in the 7th verse. Swadvi kramad bhavati. Gradually it will become tasty. So don't expect taste before steady practice. Okay. So then once the taste comes, once the taste comes, then what we should do? He says, Tan nama roopa charitadi sukirtanano smrityor kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishtan vrajeta danuraga jananugami kalam nayet tadakilam iti upadesha saram. So he says, the essence of all advice is that akilam kalam nahi, one should utilize all their time, because now that you have taste, right, now that you have taste, when taste is there, you can utilize all the time in engaging your mind and senses in Krishna conscious activities, right. Tan nama roopa charitadi sukirtana anusmrityor kramena rasana manasi niyojya. Starting with your senses and eventually with your mind, engage all of that in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vednam. You know, engage your mind and senses in these activities and then go and stay in Vrindavan. Tishtan Vraje. Tad Anuraga Jana Anugami. And try to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. In this way, one should spend all their life. So, which means after Ruchi, naturally, one is following Bhakti based on the guidelines of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Then naturally, one will get a taste to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. At this stage, one actually becomes vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jihva vegam udaropastha vegam. Okay. Etan veganyo vishaheta dhira. they have developed the ability to resist all these urges. Sarvan apimam prithivim sa shishyat. So they can make disciples all over, but they don't want to make disciples. They want to become a disciple. Tishtan vraje tad anuraga jana anugami. Tad anuraga jana anugami. He wants to become a follower of the Vrajavasi. He is no longer interested in becoming a guru. He wants to become a follower of the Vrajavasis. Okay. So, now that he has entered into Vraja, okay, what happens in Vraja? What should I look for in Vraja? What should I look for in Vrindavan? What is the hierarchy? That's what the last three verses says. Vaikuntat, Vaikunta janito vara madupuri, tatra pira sotsavat, vrindaranyamudara paniramanat, tatra pi govardhanaha, radha kundamiha pi gokulapater, prema mrita plavanat, kuryadasya virajato madu giritate, sepam viveki nakaha. So, he says, Vaikunta janito vara madupuri. This Mathura is greater than even Vaikuntha. Why? Janito. Because Krishna is never born in Vaikuntha. Krishna remains in Vaikuntha in his Narayana form. But Krishna's birth pastimes happen only in Mathura. Okay. Tatrapi Vrindaranyam. Greater than even Mathura is Vrindavan forest. Vrindaranyam. Why? Rasotsavad. Because Krishna's Rasalila pastimes happen in Vrindavan forest. Therefore, Vrindavan is superior even to Mathura. Tatrapi Govardhana. And in Vrindavan, Govardhan is the most important place. Why? Udarapani Ramana. Because Krishna extended his magnificent, his magnanimous hands and held that Govardhan for 7 days. Therefore, Govardhan is better in Vrindavan. Ihapi Radha Kundam. In the Govardhan area, Radha Kund is the most, holiest. Why? Gokulapatehe Prema Amrita Aplavanat. Because it is overflowing with the liquid love of Krishna. Therefore, Radha Kunda is the most important place. Kuryadasya virajato giritate sevam vivekina kaha. So what intelligent person would refuse to stay on the banks of Radha Kunda and serve that Radha Kunda? So in this way, after you become a follower of the Vrajavasis, you should understand what the Vrajavasis value. The Vrajavasis value Mathura Mandal to be greater than even Vaikuntha. Okay. And within Mathura Mandal, they value Vrindavan. Within Vrindavan, Govardhan. Within Govardhan, Radha Kund. That is the understanding of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Right. This is what is meaning of following the Vrajavasis. Then he says, Karmibhya parito harer priyataya vyaktim yayur jnaninas tebhyo jnana vimukta bhakti parama premaika nishtastataha tebhyasta pashupala pankajadrishas tabhyo pisaradika preshta tadvadiyam tadiyasarasi Kriti. So he says, Karmibhya parito harer priyataya vyaktim yayur jnanina. There may be many, many karmis, you know, materialistic people, but the jnanis who have desire for a spiritual goal are certainly more dear to Krishna. Tebhyo jnana vimukta bhakti parama premaika nishtastataha. అండ్ అమంగ్స్ ద జ్ఞానీస్ ఏషాం జ్ఞానీ నిత్యయుక్త ఏకభక్తిర్ విశిష్యతే. యునో అమంగ్స్ ద జ్ఞానీస్ దెర్ ఆర్ సమ్ జ్ఞానీస్ హు ఆర్ ఏకభక్తి, హూ జ్ఞాన విముక్త భక్తి పరమ, హూ హావ్ ట్రాన్సెండెడ్ దట్ పాత్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన అండ్ హావ్ కమ్ టు పాత్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ కమ్ టు ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, దే ఆర్ స్టిల్ సుపీరియర్. ప్రేమ ఏకనిష్టాస్తత, అండ్ ఈవెన్ బెటర్ దెన్ దెమ్ ఆర్ ద డివోటీస్ ఫార్ హూమ్ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్ గోల్. సో సో అమంగ్స్ట్ బెటర్ దెన్ ఈవెన్ జ్ఞానమిశ్ర భక్త ఈస్ అ శుద్ధ భక్త ఫర్ హూమ్ ప్రేమ ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్, అండ్ అమంగ్స్ట్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఆస్పైరింగ్ ఆఫ్టర్ ప్రేమ భక్తి, తేభ్యస్తా పశుపాల పంకజ దృశస్తాభ్యోపి సారాధిక. అండ్ అమంగ్స్ ద ప్రేమ భక్తస్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ తత్రాపి వాట్ ఇస్ దట్ తత్రాపి ఏకాంతినాం శ్రేష్ఠః గోవింద హృతమానస ఏషాం శ్రీశ ప్రసాదోపి మనోహర్తుం న శక్నుయాత్. శిల రూపగోస్వామి ఇన్ భక్తి రసాం సింధు సేస్, యునో ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద ప్రేమ భక్తస్ దోస్ హూస్ హార్ట్ హాస్ బీన్ స్టోలెన్ బై గోవింద ఇన్ వృందావన్ దే ఆర్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్. తేభ్యస్తా పశుపాల పంకజ దృశస్తాభ్యోపి సారాధిక. అమంగ్స్ ద ప్రేమ భక్తస్ ది డెనిజన్స్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్ ఆర్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్, అండ్ అమంగ్స్ ది డెనిజన్స్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్ రాధారాణి ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్. ప్రేష్టా తద్వద్ ఇయం తదీయ సరసి తాం నాశ్రయత్ కకృతి. అండ్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ ఈవన్ వృందావన్ రాధారాణి ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్. సిమిలర్లీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద ప్లేసెస్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్ రాధాకుండ్ ఇస్ ద టాప్ మోస్ట్. దేర్ ఫోర్ విచ్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పర్సన్ వుడ్ నాట్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ దట్ రాధాకుండ్ లైక్ దట్. దెన్ లాస్ట్ వర్స్ కృష్ణస్యోచ్చై ప్రణయ వసతి ప్రేయసీభ్యోపి రాధా కుండం చాస్య మునిభిరభితస్తాదృగే వ్యదాయి యత్ప్రేష్టైరప్యలమసులభం కిం పునర్భక్తి భాజాం తత్ప్రేమేదం సకృదపి సరస్నాతురావిష్కరోతి. సో హి సేస్ దట్ దేర్ మే బి సో మెనీ ప్లేసెస్ అండ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ వెరీ డియర్ టు కృష్ణ, బట్ స్టిల్ రాధారాణి అండ్ రాధాకుండ్ ఆర్ ద డియరెస్ట్ టు కృష్ణ. అమంగ్స్ పీపుల్ ఇట్ ఇస్ రాధారాణి, అండ్ అమంగ్స్ ప్లేసెస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ రాధాకుండ్. అండ్ దిస్ రాధాకుండ్ ఇస్ రేర్లీ అటైన్డ్ ఈవెన్ బై గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్, విచ్ మీన్స్ పీపుల్ ఈవెన్ ఫ్రమ్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఈవెన్ ఇన్ అదర్ సంప్రదాయ దే డోంట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ రాధాకుండ్. Therefore, they don't attain it means what? They don't attain it means they don't approach Radhakund with that faith. So therefore, they don't attain it. Right? So if one simply bathes once within those waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Right? So this is what Shila Rupa Goswami is telling, that after going to Vrindavan, you should know, what is loved by Krishna, because you have gone to Vrindavan to become a lover of Krishna. So if you want to become a lover of Krishna, then what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of the lovers of Krishna is to understand their value system. What do they value? How much do they value? So, in this way, if one understands and tries to develop that kind of appreciation and attraction, then one actually becomes a Brajavasi. And then one becomes qualified to participate in the pastimes of Krishna. So, in this way, Nectar of Instruction seems like a very simple book. You know, oh, it's just a Bhakti Shastri book, you know, one of the small books, you know, Bhakti Shastri books. But, you know, if we really understand the depth of this book, then practically there is not much that we need to study, you know, whatever Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures have been written, it is in one sense they have expanded upon this book actually. So that is why it is Upadeshamrita. This is a nectar of all instructions, right? So in this nectar of instructions, the role of Bhaktiya Loka is actually how, what constitutes a Krishna conscious lifestyle. Lifestyle and value system for devotee. What kind of lifestyle should we cultivate? What are the various elements of that lifestyle? And how do we cultivate that lifestyle? Okay. And what is the value system that I need to cultivate? Okay. And how do we cultivate that value system? That is what in Nectar of Instruction verse 2 and 3 it is described. And in Bhaktiya Loka, it's going to be elaborated. The file is going to be unzipped. And we are going to discuss in detail about each of these 12 elements. And then once we understand that, then we will get the inspiration to follow the rest of Nectar of Instruction also. Then we will realize when we understand in detail what it means to avoid Atyahara, Prayasa, Prajalpa, Niyamagraha, Janasangha, Laulyam, and how to the importance of what it means to cultivate Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhirya, Karma, Pravartana, Sangatyaga, Satovritte, then we will realize that actually I cannot do it alone. Ideally, after hearing this book, we should get the inspiration to engage in these six exchanges with the three types of devotees and carefully avoid seeing their conditioning. Because we would understand that, my God, to follow this lifestyle is so critical to my progress on the path of devotional service, but it is not possible for me to practice it alone. I need association. So after hearing this book, we should naturally get inspired to aspire for the association. It should inspire us to take the association very seriously, you know, engage in exchanges with the three types of devotees. It should inspire us to go beyond the conditioning of the devotees. And in this way, you know, then subsequently practice the rest of the verses of Nectar of Instruction also. So therefore, the role of Bhaktiya Loka in this whole episode is actually, you know, understanding what constitutes, what are the elements of a Krishna conscious lifestyle, what constitutes a Krishna conscious lifestyle, which can help us progress very smoothly towards our goal of Krishna consciousness, goal of Krishna prema, like that. I'm sorry, I spoke for a long time. Generally, I don't speak for such long. I generally pause after every 20 minutes or so for some discussion points and questions. So any quick discussion points, questions, comments, anyone would like to share, add. I have spoken for a long time, so we have time for questions. So if there is anyone would like to share. Okay, Shripad Mahaprabhu. Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful explanation of this book. First of all, I would like to say that this is the first time I have joined this. I could not join the last session, but I felt very fortunate that, as you mentioned, you are again giving a synopsis of this verses. So thank you very much for that, first of all. Prabhuji, you were mentioning about this Swabhava Dosh and Vapusha Shadosh. So we should learn to overcome that or oversee that. Mm-hmm. But the question is, while we are associating, will that Swabhava Dosh not affect us? Because we are associating very closely, so
well, it can, But when we understand that the pressure the person is carrying behind that swabhava dosh, then we will make our we will mentally take, you know, make arrange or the right kind of adjustments so that we can neglect because we do that actually, you know. We do go to workplace where people all around us, you know, they may be talking filthy things, they may be eating filthy things, but still we know that when I go there, you know, I will get my salary, 50,000, 60,000, whatever, you know, I'll be getting my salary. So when you understand the value of what you're getting, then you get the ability to neglect what may be potentially not very favorable also. But sometimes if it becomes very difficult to neglect, you know, certain people's conditioning, then we understand that, okay, I am not able to temper because of my conditioning, I am not able to process that that devotee's conditioning. It is my problem. So I will temporarily try to stay away, but eventually I need to decondition myself. I need to rectify my own conditioning, and I should be able to see him beyond that condition. Like that, we have to rectify ourselves. So temporarily, it may be not very easy for us to deal with that. We may get affected by that person's conditioning, but eventually we should understand that we should try to understand the treasure that he is holding beyond that conditioning, and therefore we should learn to neglect that conditioning and access his the real treasure of his faith. Like that.
Thank you, Arunshri. Can I go for one more question?
Yeah. Go
ahead. Thank you. Another thing about you mentioned was very wonderful thing about regularity means daily, regulated means at a specific time. So certainly we get that desire to be regulated, but the plethora of services sometimes does not allow. So how can we manage that?
Then we, like sometimes, yes, some services come, but slowly when we, over a period of time, when we understand the importance of regulated devotional service, then we may sometimes, you know, compromise on our sleep or compromise on our not so essential things and still manage to do our chanting at the same time and hearing at the same time, like that. It just takes some time to understand the importance of, you know, what we get by a regulated practice. Once we understand the importance, then despite other services also, it may not happen overnight. It will gradually happen. Is that okay, bro?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Great. Okay. Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. One question is referring to when you were making that subtle distinction between the first and second verses, because you were saying that they can seem very similar, you know. So I'm just kind of thinking out loud to see if I'm understanding the distinction properly. So, in the first verse, seems to be talking about, how should I say, neglecting unfavorable urges, you know, or, you know, you think certain thoughts come up that you don't want to focus on, or maybe certain foods come in your vision that you don't want to partake, you know, circumstantially. Unfavorable sense objects come and you reject. But in the second verse, it seems to be saying more about indulging, whether in good or bad sense objects.
Yeah.
It's talking about avoiding the indulgence in those things.
Yeah.
Right? That's the idea.
In one sense, like the first verse says, how can I become immune to the urges? The second verse says, oh, it depends on how you respond. Like say for, let's say this one example of Jihva Vegam, the urge of the tongue to eat palatable stuffs. How can you resist it? The verse says Atyahara. When you eat, if you end up overeating, then your immunity to resist the urge to eat palatable foodstuffs is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So the second verse talks about more of a day-to-day change that you have to do with certain things which you are allowed to do every day. You're allowed to eat every day. You're allowed to accumulate every day, right? You're allowed to endeavor every day. But how do you do it? If you end up overdoing these things, then your ability to resist the urge, when you have to resist it, it will be compromised.
Okay, so therefore, the first verse is just telling you that you need to resist, but the second verse is telling you how to resist.
Yeah. How do you develop an internal wiring which will make you ready to resist, which will develop your... Yeah.
And that internal wiring is by not overindulging.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one aspect of that. Atyahara talks about it. And it also talks about, we're avoiding unfavorable association also, which will push you in that direction. And so many other things. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Babu. And then just one other question was, as you were going up the devotional ladder, from Nishta to Ruchi.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you went to Asakti. Did you go to Asakti?
I mean, we didn't specifically cover it, but it's not specifically mentioned in Nectar of Instruction.
Anyway, in that part of your discussion, you said after you develop Ruchi, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you said at that point, then what are you supposed to do, right? And I think the answer was, well, you're supposed to, engage in all of these processes of devotional service. Was that not your answer?
No. No. After you develop taste, then you will engage your senses and the mind in these activities. And the main thing is you would want to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. Uh-huh. You would want to hear and chant and do everything, do all the acts of sadhana by trying to follow it in the way the Vrajavasis do it for the pleasure of
Krishna. Okay. Yeah, the Rupanuga type of, not Rupanuga.
Raganuga.
Raganuga.
Yeah.
I missed your words when you said following in the footsteps.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I missed.
Yeah.
Okay, it's clear now. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
All right.
Nitai Mata Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare.
Thank you very much. Pranam. Prabhu, I felt you really spoke my heart out, basically, especially when you're talking about next of instruction. And
can you speak a little louder, Mataji?
Okay. Sorry, Prabhu. Yeah, I know my computer is not okay. Can you hear me now, Prabhu?
Yeah.
Thank you. Nectar of Instructions, I felt earlier, such a small book. Oh, it's why are you distributing this book for everybody like that? And when I read for the first time, I really felt exactly what you said. If I thorough this book, I think I'm very close to... where I should go. I felt that way. Yeah. The thing I want to say, Prabhu, my question is, Prabhu, you said overseeing the conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
In a small quantity. Actually, this is really a kind of a struggle at the moment. So I felt this is Lord's mercy that you started this topic. In a very small community, it's not looking at, if you don't get any inspiration, if you don't have anybody like-minded, if you want to do something like, because that is how you have been trained over the years. Everybody is trained in a different way. Somebody must be 30 years old, somebody must be 20 years, like that. But if you live in different society, different temples, different ways. So, and we trained in different ways. So when we want to do, I want to do this perfectly. I want to do it. Somebody says, no, that's okay. You just do it. Let's do it. So it is not that inspiring, Prabhu. And so basically I'm talking about, I don't want my inspiration to burn out and die out. At the end of the day, we have to do the perfect, in the sense not only looking perfect, it with your whole heart, with love. It's not a matter of duty. This is my understanding. So how could you really move forward when you don't have, when you don't see that around you? Even you have that so-called, like, really willing to do the perfect. I just want to do this rightly. This is what my spiritual master said, and this is what Srila Prabhupada said, so I want to really move forward that way. But you don't have that support. How can you move forward without getting burned out? Because we need association.
Yeah, the main thing, Mataji, prayers. Prayers can actually do wonders. So for Krishna, if you genuinely pray, for Krishna to create that for you is not very difficult. And Krishna is actually waiting that my devotee would pray to me like this. So Krishna is, so therefore prayers can create wonders actually. So it's very good. And in one sense, you know, it may not even necessarily be physical association. Sometimes association could even be virtual like this, you know. You might get some like-minded association from another part of the world. And, you know, you may once in a while, stay in touch over the phone or write to each other. Or through these kind of sangha also, you know, you come, recharge your battery and then go back and then recharge your battery like that. It could be physical association, it could be virtual association. Today, this is the age of virtual association. Many people all over the world are mostly charging their batteries through virtual association only, especially during this pandemic time.
That's very true, Prabhu. Actually, this is happening to me for many, many years. I'm always connected in somewhere, not in the same place. I don't know why. Maybe probably this is my conditioning as well. And one other thing, Prabhu, thank you very much. And prayers do work. Yes, I do agree. But all the time, if it is happening, I'm sometimes getting worried. Oh, my God, I don't want to lose this. I have to really move forward because I can't say temple didn't do it, devotees didn't do it, because of that I couldn't do it, because I am responsible for my spiritual life.
Absolutely, Mante, you made a very good statement. I remember, I'll share one example that I had one of my cousin sisters. We both were in the same grade, and for us in India, in the 12th grade is like the main exam, you know, it's the board exam. So we had just 1 month for that board exam, and I was asking her, we were just sharing notes, and I was asking her, how have you prepared for physics? She said, I have not studied 4 chapters in physics. I said, why? She said, because my teacher fell sick, so he didn't teach, so I haven't studied. I said, you idiot, If you know, if your teacher didn't come and he didn't teach, are they going to, you know, wave you, you know, in the central exam? They are not going to consider all that, whether your teacher came or not. It is your responsibility. If you don't write the answer for that question in the exam, you lose. Your teacher does not lose. So I was just chastising her until, you know, you are grown up now. You should learn to take personal responsibility. If your teacher did not teach you, that is, you know, then you should take responsibility of going somewhere, asking someone to learn that, you know, learn those chapters. Then I sat with her and I, you know, whatever little I could teach, I taught her those four chapters. But the point is, yeah, we can't just say that, you know, the community around me, they are not interested. So, you know, it's not like, so because it is people who make the communities.
Yeah.
So if even one person gets very sincerely interested and if he can ignite the spark, then maybe slowly, slowly, one by one, other members may also catch it, actually. That's how it happens.
Okay. Prabhu, one last quick one, Prabhu. You said regulated. So there are devotions. Uh-huh. And after that, the taste comes. Somehow, by the mercy of the Lord, I have taste of my regulation.
Yeah.
I struggle with regulation, Prabhu. Because, again, with service and maybe, again, my laziness also come in there, definitely.
which means you have not really understood what is the meaning of taste. Ruchi. Ruchi means, you are able to give up your sleep to practice it.
Oh, that is okay. Sleep is okay.
Sleep means you are willing to give up sleep for days together to practice it. Can you do it?
I have done it for.
Huh? You have what?
Laziness is, Prabhu, another thing.
Oh, no. Laziness means where taste is there, laziness is not there.
I think, sorry, Prabhu, I did a mistake of putting that word laziness. See, sometimes what happens with me, Prabhu, if I have to communicate to somebody in the other part of the world, so I won't get that person if I don't communicate at this time. So Krishna goes a little behind, which is actually I don't want to, but other person said, no, this is the time you need to call me. Don't call otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't understand, Prabhu. This is what I really want to mean.
Yeah, I mean, just hold on for one second, Mother. Just hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Oh,
Hare Krishna.
Very low, Prabhu. I don't know, for me, very low.
Can you hear my voice?
For me, very low, Prabhu. Maybe other devotees can say. Is it okay? I can manage, Prabhu, but yeah, about others. Just...
Okay, others. Yeah, others also can hear. Okay, fine.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what, Mataji. Actually, real ruchi, what ruchi is, we will discuss on another day, because that ruchi has a lot of, it's a very advanced stage, actually. So when I say taste, I'm not telling just a taste. Even at the beginning stage of one's Krishna consciousness, one has taste. I'm not talking about taste in black and white terms.
Okay.
But when I'm talking about ruchi, ruchi is a very advanced stage, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
And for that matter, even nishta is a very advanced stage.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for your thoughts, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. So I see a few questions in the chat box also. Let me quickly see if I can cover some of them. Okay. One, does doshas of swabhava, Swabhava is of subtle body and Vapu is of gross body. Yes, you are right, Prabhu. Yeah. Swabhava Janita Irdosha is subtle body means in terms of various kinds of qualities. And Vapushastra Dosha is gross body where you see deformed body and things like that. Okay, next question. Could you please explain the difference between Udaravegam and Atyahara and how to overcome the bad habit of overeating? Okay, how to overcome, these details are coming up. That's what the rest of the essays are about. And about the difference between Udaravegam and Atyahara, I think I did discuss it in answering to Mother Gail's question. And that's the answer. One is a conditional urge. Another is actually actually something that you need to do on a day-to-day basis. How does one take shelter of Sri Radha Kund if one is unable to go? Okay, we will discuss this later, not directly connected with our immediate discussion points. Okay, Radha Kund and Radharani is central to Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. So why are there no dedicated books for Radharani or even Shakti Sadhana? If permissible, can I use the word Kundalini here, referring to Radha Kund? Okay, I don't know whether it is appropriate. There are books, but one has to become qualified to study those books in the early stage. Whatever is recommended for us, that is what we have to study. The highest goal is Radha Kund, but one has to become reasonably qualified to even approach. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, that for you at this stage, that Radha Kund is not Radha Kund for you, it is Naraka Kund for you, he says. Because your heart is filled with so many unfavorable qualities, unfavorable desires. At this stage, if you think of reading exclusively about Radharani or Radha Kund, then it will not be appropriate. So Radha Kund will not remain Radha Kund. It will become Naraka Kund for you, like that he says. So it is there, but one has to become qualified to study those books. What is the difference between regulated life and Niyamagraha? When we come to Niyamagraha, I will talk about it. We are going to discuss about Niyamagraha in great detail. Okay. Can you give the connection between verse 8 and 9, 10, 11? Okay, verse 8 talks about, the following the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. And verse 9, 10, 11 talk about what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. It means to accept their value system, which means to value what they value. And what do they value? That's what is given in verse number 9, 10 and 11. They value Vrindavan more than Mathura, more than Vaikuntha. In Mathura Mandal, they value Vrindavan the most. In Vrindavan, they value Govardhan the most. In Govardhan, they value Radha Kund the most, and like that. Okay. So, anything else before we move ahead? Okay. If there is nothing further, then I have one more point that I want to discuss. That the importance, another important thing about this Upadeshamrit. Someone is asking, will I be able to do these things in Tamil? Okay. I don't know. My mother tongue is Tamil, but I am very poor at giving Tamil classes. I don't really feel very comfortable because somehow with Krishna's arrangement, I always stayed in Maharashtra and in the United States. So I never had this opportunity of speaking Krishna Katha in Tamil. So yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Then Let's see how much time do we have. We have about 9 minutes. Okay, let me at least start. So there are four kinds of anarthas. You know, as we know that anartha nivritti is the longest. Okay, so there are four kinds of anarthas, right? First is called as anarthas, means obstacles. In this context, of course, the word anartha can mean multiple things. In this context, the word anartha refers to obstacles on the path of devotional service. There are four prominent obstacles. First is asat trishna. Trishna means thirst, and asat means impermanent things of this world. Thirst for enjoying things of this world, that is asat trishna. Right. Then the second type is called as hridaya daurbalyam. Hridaya daurbalyam means weakness of the heart. It is weak because it is malnourished. Okay. And then there is tattva vibhrama. Tattva vibhrama means misunderstanding of spiritual truths. And then there is aparad. Aparad means offenses. So these are the four obstacles to one's progressing on the path of devotional service. These are the reasons why one cannot practice steady devotional service. So, how do we overcome this? Why I am speaking this is because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, first we will see what are the different types of asat trishna. Okay. There are four types of asat trishna. Okay. One is desire for any material objects, right? That is one type of asat trishna. Then, or sometimes we may have desire for some heavenly comforts, or sometimes we may have desire for some mystic powers, or desire for liberation. These are all four types of asat trishna, right? And four kinds of hridaya daurbalyam. Four kinds of hridaya daurbalyam, weakness of heart. Envy. Envy is a symptom of a weak heart. A heart which is not nourished. Desire for fame is another symptom of a weak heart. Deceitfulness or fault finding. How do we deal with seeing fault in ourselves and fault in others? When we see in others, we are eager to find faults. When we see it in others, we want to hide it from others. Deceit. And the fourth thing is attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna. So these are the four symptoms of a very weak heart. Hridaya daurbalyam. Okay. And then there are four types of tattva vibhrama, or not knowing the real truths. One is swatattva vibhrama, not understanding the real nature of oneself, the real nature of the soul. I am not this body, I am the soul. And jivera swarup hoy krishnera nityadas, not knowing that, right? So this is swatattva vibhrama. Then there is paratattva vibhrama, misunderstanding about the nature of the absolute truth, the supreme lord. Then the third is called as bhakti tattva vibhrama. Misunderstanding about the process of devotional service. Then bhakti pratikula vastu tattva vibhrama. What is not properly understanding what is favorable and what is unfavorable for bhakti. So these are the four types. Okay. Then the four kinds of aparadhas are offenses to the holy name, nama aparad. Then there is offenses to the deity form, which is seva aparad. Then offenses to the devotees, which is Vaishnava aparad. Then offenses to other living entities, which is jiva aparad. These are the four types of aparadhas. And so this asat trishna, hridaya daurbalyam, tattva vibhrama, and aparad, these act as obstacles for our progress on the path of devotional service. So what is the solution? Why I am speaking this in this context is just to help you understand the importance of Nectar of Instruction as a book. Right? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how do you overcome Asat Trishna? Thirst for enjoying things of this world. He says, if you follow Nectar of Instruction 2. Because if you see, if you overeat, then the thirst to enjoy more and more palatable foodstuffs increases. If you overaccumulate, then the thirst to enjoy that you have endeavored to accumulate will increase. So in this way, if we avoid these six unfavorable things, as mentioned in second verse of NOI, then our thirst for material enjoyment comes down. Then that one anartha has been tackled. Hridaya Daurbalyam. How do you overcome a weak heart? Envy, desire for fame, deceitfulness and fault finding, an attachment to enjoying things not connected with Krishna. These are all symptoms of a very weak heart, which is not nourished. So how do you overcome this? He says, NOI verse 4. Dadati pratigrannati guhyam akhyati pruchyati. Bhungte bojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. If you have these six exchanges with devotees, and when your heart becomes nourished by Vaishnava Preeti, if your heart becomes nourished by the Vaishnava's grace and affection, then that nourished heart will not show the symptoms of malnourishment, which is envy, fault finding, deceitfulness, and desire for fame, etc., because it is so nourished with the affection of Vaishnavas. Okay, then how do you overcome aparad, the fourth offense? He says, NOI verse 1. If you are able to, because if we are unable to control our vachovegam, if you are unable to control our speech, we will end up offending others. If you are unable to control manasavegam, if you allow our chariot of mind to roam here and there, think all kinds of things about devotees, then it again leads to offenses. Then krodha vegam, if you are not able to control our anger, then it will lead to offenses. And if you are not able to control our tongue, belly and genitals, then we are pushing others to offend us. Because they will see that, oh, this person is not able to control his eating and his genitals. Then we are pushing others to offend us like that. So in this way, NOI 1, if you follow, then you can overcome the aparad. NOI 4, you can overcome Hridaya Daurbalyam. NOI 2, you can overcome Asat Trishna. And Tattva Vibhrama, how you can overcome Tattva Vibhrama? By surrender to and remaining chaste to a guru, to guru, sadhu and shastra, like that. So basically, if you see, we should not underestimate this book, Nectar of Instruction. It is practically a very, very condensed book, which has practically everything that is needed to progress till the stage of prema. Anyway, sorry, we could not start with the first essay on Atyahara, which we will do next Wednesday for sure. So I apologize. Apologize for starting early today and apologize for not being able to start with Atyahara. Not Atyahara. I mean, the essay on Atyahara. So we will start the essay on Atyahara next Wednesday. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Pad ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai, Shri Upadeshamrit ki jai, Shri Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.